Good morning, everyone. My name is Rebecca Hassan, and I'm an assistant professor at the University of Michigan. And today I'll be speaking with you about the household, social position, sociocultural orientation, and diabetes risk in overweight African American youth. Just to give you a brief overview, I'm a physiologist by training, not an epidemiologist, so this presentation will be slightly different than what you're used to at this conference, but I hope it'll still be intriguing. My research primarily focuses on documenting racial ethnic differences in obesity-related metabolic risk factors for chronic disease, and we have transitioned into trying to understand why do these differences exist, and how does the social environment in which children live produce these ethnic differences that we see. And then our final step is to then develop novel behavioral intervention strategies aimed at reducing these risk factors. So for today, this is the framework that we use for our research, which is pretty extensive, but basically it shows at the top how the literature has demonstrated that there are a variety of different factors in our social environment that operate at multiple levels that influence individuals at the individual level. And from that, they can influence our behaviors, our stress levels, and even our access that can then lead to obesity and later on type 2 diabetes. My research focuses primarily in African American and Latino youth, obese African American and Latino youth, and then what are the causes and consequences of those diseases. For today, though, I'm going to focus on culture, the role of culture, and how that can directly impact type 2 diabetes risk by looking at insulin resistance, hyperinsulinemia, and beta cell function. So we know that for African-American and Latino children, particularly obese ethnic minority youth, that their risk for type 2 diabetes is dramatically higher than that of non-Hispanic whites. This is probably the most compelling data presented here that shows that black and Hispanic or Latino kids have about almost a 50% chance of getting type 2 diabetes at some point in their life compared to a 30% chance in non-Hispanic whites. Now we pretty much have it pretty well delineated what the biological pathways from obesity towards type 2 diabetes. We see that there are environmental factors that can influence this pathway and that behaviors can also influence this pathway, but that going from obesity can lead to insulin resistance. Insulin resistance can lead to other organs in the body that compensate for that insulin resistance, such as the pancreas or the liver. Then finally, if these organs cannot compensate for that increased insulin resistance over time, you have dysfunction in the pancreatic beta cells that then lead to type 2 diabetes. This used to be a disease that primarily affected adults, but now we are seeing that these rates again are increasing in children. We also see ethnic differences in each one of these different categories that I'll briefly describe to you between African Americans and Latinos. So research from our laboratory has shown that even at the same BMI or BMI percentile for African American and Latino youth, we see dramatically different obesity-related metabolic risk factors in these two groups. So for African Americans, we see higher rates or higher amounts of subcutaneous fat. We see increased insulin resistance, increased hyperinsulinemia, or just insulin in the general circulation. And we also see decreased pancreatic secretion of insulin from the pancreas. Whereas in Latinos, we tend to see increased visceral fat, decreased insulin resistance. However, the pancreas tends to compensate for this increased disease risk. So all of this is to say that even though they have similar risks for type 2 diabetes, the pathophysiology is very different in these two ethnic racial groups. Now, we understand that race and ethnicity is a social construct and not a biological construct. So our research, again, has begun to understand how does the social environment produce these different metabolic differences that then lead to different outcomes. So from the stress literature, we know that the social environment can influence diabetes risk directly through the HPA axis. So you see at the top, this is a small graph, but if you see the brain at the top, that you see stressors such as social isolation, negative life events, and socioeconomic burden, as well as the psychological responses, can activate a variety of different neuroendocrine pathways, particularly cortisol, which can lead to inhibition of insulin from the pancreatic cells, inhibition of glucose uptake in the periphery, and increased LPL or lipoprotein lipase or fat metabolism. Our laboratory showed that in ethnic minority youth, we did see an association between cortisol and insulin resistance, or cortisol increases in cortisol predicting increases in insulin resistance in this pathway. So our next question was, well, what would be stressful for ethnic minority youth, particularly African American youth? And this is how we developed this framework. So we know that the literature has shown that experiences of discrimination, living in a low socioeconomic household, and experiences of social isolation all are related to increased stress and have shown an increase in the HPA axis that would then lead to increased insulin resistance and diabetes risk. What is less known is the role of culture. Now, we do study culture a lot in immigrant populations or in Latino populations, but there's been very little information on how culture impacts health of native-born African Americans in this country, particularly in kids. So when I say culture or sociocultural orientation, how we are defining it for our research is the attitudes, values, customs, beliefs, and behaviors of an individual or subgroup of the population residing in a multicultural society. And when we talk about African American culture, we realize that this culture has evolved within the United States while retaining certain elements of African culture. So it is kind of a mix between historical heritage and the country that we live in now. African American culture kind of blends the two. And it includes aspects that are uniquely shaped by our historical and social political forces that have occurred in this country. So research that has been done in African American adults that is focused on sociocultural orientation and diabetes risk, two studies in particular. So we know that Dressler's work has looked at cultural consonance, or looking or living in accordance with culturally constructed local community norms. So in a group of African American adults who lived in a predominantly African American community, those individuals who were in accordance with the norms of that community had a much lower risk of smoking and hypertension compared to individuals who did not live in accordance with those social norms. We know also from Colin Irie Mbua's work that a positive identification with African American culture and a self-perception of being successful in both the black and white ways of life were also associated with increased health-related behaviors, or positive health-related behaviors. So we do have some evidence that culture can influence health, but predominantly through behaviors. So for our study, we were interested in saying, is this also true for children? Do we see a relationship between cultural orientation and type 2 diabetes risk in African American youth between the ages of 8 to 18? We were also interested in looking at socioeconomic status, because we do know that socioeconomic status can have some influences on culture, whether you live in a high SES family or neighborhood or in a low SES family or neighborhood, that is a confounding variable. And our measures of type 2 diabetes risk were insulin resistance, hyperinsulinemia, and pancreatic beta cell compensation. What we had hypothesized, based on the Irie and Bua data in adults, is that an adaptive cultural style of integrating into mainstream American culture while maintaining aspects of their own family's culture would be associated with decreased diabetes risk. And again, we're not predicting that this would work through behaviors, but through stress mechanisms that type 2 diabetes risk would be lower. A lot of the research in looking at culture has shown that integration or an ability to balance both cultures is actually a healthier cultural style as opposed to being marginalized from both cultures or assimilating into just one culture. We also predicted, based on a lot of literature in public health, that socioeconomic status or low household social position would be associated with increased diabetes risk. So the measures that we used was a multi-ethnic culture scale, so acculturation, habits, and interests multicultural scale for adolescents questionnaire. This was developed for a multicultural audience for Latinos, African Americans, and Asian American kids residing in the Los Angeles area. We used the Hollingshead Index of Social Position, and we used to measure diabetes risk, the frequently sampled intravenous glucose tolerance test. We also had measures of fat mass, fat-free mass, Tanner stage or level of maturation for these kids, and as well as dietary intake and physical activity that we used as covariates for these analyses. So to give you a little bit more information about the questionnaire that we used to assess culture, it was an 8-item questionnaire, and these are the questions that the children were asked. And just to pick out a few, just my favorite music is from, or the holidays I celebrate are from, or the people I fit in with best are friends. So it talked about behaviors as well as the people that you hang out with or the social networks that you are involved with. And the responses, there were 4 different responses. So the a response to if the majority of the answers to those questions, so the type of food that I eat comes from the U.S., that was categorized as assimilation. And assimilation would mean that you are replacing your own family's culture with mainstream American culture. The country my family is from, or the culture my family's culture would be categorized as separation. So they're rejecting mainstream American culture and latching onto or maintaining their own family's culture. Both was considered integration, and neither was considered marginalization. I guess an easy way to kind of conceptualize this cultural measure is that it is, if you would think of, like, say, Malcolm X or Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King would have more of an integrationist cultural identity, while Malcolm X has more of a separatist cultural identity. So even, or if on another example would be Angela Davis and Condoleezza Rice, they both grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, but they have very different cultural outlooks on how they conduct themselves, the attitudes and behaviors that they have, even though they grew up in the same environment. So to just give you a brief overview of the metabolic test that we use, so the intravenous glucose tolerance test is an invasive test to where the kids came to the hospital and had 2 catheters inserted into their arm. One catheter was to infuse glucose and insulin, and another catheter was to take actual blood measurements. So you see glucose concentrations, or the graph to the left is glucose concentrations, where a bolus of glucose is infused at time point zero, and then a bolus of insulin, if you look to the right graph, a bolus of insulin is injected at time point around 20. So you can see 2 spikes with the insulin graph. One is the endogenous insulin, or how much insulin is secreted from your body in response to glucose. The second spike is the injected or exogenous insulin that is secreted. This test, you can kind of think of it as like bowling. So if you have a bowling ball, you give the body a stimulus and you want to see where the pins fall out, as opposed to other situations where you may completely perturb the system by having a constant infusion. These are just boluses. This is slightly different from an oral glucose tolerance test because this test bypasses the whole digestive system. And since we know that there have been some reports of ethnic differences in incretin or gut responses to glucose, we decided to use an intravenous glucose tolerance test to understand exactly what the pancreas was doing. So here are the participant characteristics, and we see that for our participants, they were primarily, based on our socioeconomic measure, that the majority of them were middle to lower class. There were a few in upper middle class. or social position, but the largest group, or almost 50%, were in that middle income category. For sociocultural orientation, we also looked to see what was the majority response for each of these four categories, and we see that the highest, and this is true of most research in this country, that the highest reported sociocultural orientation was integration, followed by separation, assimilation, and marginalization. This data was collected in Los Angeles, so that could also, there could be a geographic location piece here. So if you collected this type of data, cultural data, maybe in the South, you might see more of a separatist cultural orientation just based on the amount of residential segregation that you see in that geographic location. So what did we find? So these are presented here are the partial or unadjusted and adjusted partial correlations for social position, integration, assimilation, separation, and marginalization. So when we did not adjust for behavioral and biological factors, again, the behavioral factors were physical activity and diet. The biological factors were fat mass, fat-free mass, Tanner stage, and sex. We saw that marginalization was associated with insulin sensitivity. So with an increase in marginalization, you saw lower insulin sensitivity. So this is an increased type 2 diabetes risk. However, we also saw that in the unadjusted models that integration was positively associated with acute insulin response. So acute insulin response was that first spike that you saw on that glucose or that insulin curve. And that is the amount of glucose that is, the amount of insulin that is secreted from the pancreas immediately when glucose is injected into the body. You would typically want to see if someone is extremely insulin sensitive, you would see a smaller spike or a smaller increase in insulin because you need less insulin to maintain glucose tolerance. But in this case, our data suggests that integration is associated with increased insulin secreted from the pancreas, which would mean there is an increased diabetes risk in these kids. Now, when we look at the adjusted model, so when we adjust for physical activity and diet and body fat, we also see, again, that integration was positively associated with the amount of insulin that is secreted from the pancreas and disposition index, which is our measure of pancreatic beta cell function. So we see that the pancreas is compensating or is releasing a lot more insulin in this cultural identity, in these individuals who display this cultural identity. However, we don't see any relationship with any of the other cultural identities. So what does this data actually mean? So in the unadjusted model, again, we saw that prior to controlling for our covariates, marginalization was inversely associated with insulin sensitivity. So the kids who did not identify with either their own family's African American culture or mainstream white American culture had increased type 2 diabetes risk. And we know that this adaptive sociocultural style of aligning neither exclusively with traditional African American nor mainstream culture may be related to increased diabetes risk in these youth. So future research should explore what does marginalization actually look like for these kids. So we know based on our 8 questionnaires that they're not gathering their culture from either the mainstream American or African American culture. So then who are they hanging out with? What types of foods are they eating? What types of social networks are they involved with? And why is this associated with increased type 2 diabetes risk? Again, this data was collected in Los Angeles, and we know that 44% of the population in Los Angeles is Latino. So this may actually be, maybe some of these African American kids are hanging out with other cultures, which may impact their health either through stress mechanisms or behavior mechanisms. In terms of integration and beta cell compensation, again, we saw that integration was associated with increased hyperinsulinemia or that acute insulin response, the amount of insulin that was secreted from the pancreas. And this was independent of household social position, biological, and behavioral factors. Now we think of integration, I stated that integration was predicted to be a positive thing, that this would be a healthy cultural orientation. But if we look back to our literature from W.E.B. Du Bois, this could be something like double consciousness, where these kids really are trying to navigate both cultures simultaneously, and this may in fact be a stressful situation as opposed to something that is just easy to navigate. So, and again, African American youth may have disproportionately higher stress levels as a result of integrating into a race-conscious society that systematically stigmatizes and disadvantages them. So again, looking at these two different cultures, it's not a situation where you can just bounce from one to another, that if you try to integrate into mainstream American culture, you may have resistance from your own family's culture or vice versa. If you show any of your own family's culture in a broader mainstream American culture, that may be associated with increased stigmatization or disadvantage. We were interested in looking at how much do all of these different factors, so these social contextual factors of culture and socioeconomic position, behavior and biological factors, account for the variation in these diabetes risk factors. And here you can see that both the acculturation or the culture measures and socioeconomic position accounted for about 20 to 36% of the variance in these measures. And this accounted for more of the variance than the behavior or the biological factors. But still remaining is about 25 to 31% that is still unexplained. So again, this is all individual level data. We don't have any measures of neighborhood or family environment, but just looking at the individual level, that we can see that these individual level social contextual factors are explaining almost a quarter of the variance in these diabetes risk factors. So I do want to acknowledge the limitations of this data. It is a small sample size, and there were quite of other factors that may explain that unknown box at the beginning. So we didn't measure any measures of stress in these groups. We don't have any idea of what their perceptions of their social environment were, or the actual objective school or neighborhood environments that could lead to increased stress and type 2 diabetes risk. It's also cross-sectional data. So our future research is looking at these factors longitudinally and over time, because we do know that culture or sociocultural orientation is a dynamic construct that can change, that is situational, and that changes over time. But we do know, at least preliminarily in this study of 43 African American children, that these social contextual factors explained about 20 to 36% of the variance in diabetes-related risk factors, so insulin resistant, hyperinsulinemia, and pancreatic beta cell function. So it does give us some evidence that we should continue to explore this area of research and understanding how the social environment can increase type 2 diabetes risk in obese African American youth. It is also important to remember that African American youth develop a social cultural orientation in response to coming of age in a race conscious society that stigmatizes and devalues them. So again, this isn't necessarily a choice of individuals choosing their culture, but a lot of it is influenced by the social environment and by the racial socialization that they get from their parents. So you don't want to try to change an individual's culture, but you may want to try to make more culturally specific messages in your behavioral interventions that help them effectively deal with the stress that they encounter. And pairing that with nutrition and physical activity interventions could have a synergistic effect in improving the health of African American youth. And finally, based on these cultures, or different cultural orientations, particularly integration in this study, appears that it may be, although we do have cortisol, epinephrine, norepinephrine data that we're now looking at, to try to understand how do these attitudes and behaviors result in increased psychological stress that may be related to increased diabetes risk. So to conclude, I think it's important to understand that measuring these social contextual factors in disparities research is important. Particularly in the field that I come from, it is primarily looking at biology and behavior, but we're seeing here, at least in with pilot data, that we know that the social environment plays just as big a role as the behaviors, and they do shape the behaviors that these individuals or kids participate in. So having measures of socioeconomic position, cultural beliefs and behaviors is important in terms of developing effective interventions for African American youth. And finally, we do need more behavioral interventions and public policies that are needed to adequately address and reduce the socioeconomic and sociocultural risk factors associated with type 2 diabetes risk in African American youth. So although my research focuses on the individual level, we do know that we need more social policies that eliminate the stressors that these children are exposed to at this critical age, and that some of this research can help us understand how these social factors get embodied and influence disease risk. So to conclude, for this study, I demonstrated or gave you some information of how culture can influence type 2 diabetes risk, specifically by looking at insulin resistance and beta cell function. And we showed that these factors were independent of socioeconomic position. It'll be important to understand how culture interacts with discrimination or experiences of discrimination or experiences of social isolation, particularly when we're looking at marginalization in African Americans. Is that associated with social isolation, or are these kids just hanging out with a different cultural group? And we can't, even though I showed the direct relationship between diabetes risk and these social contextual factors, we do know that part of this may be working through behaviors. And we know that, again, we also have evidence of how this may be working through different stress pathways. So I'd like to just acknowledge all of my coworkers. A lot of this data was collected when I was a postdoc at USC and UCSF. These are my colleagues, and these are our funding sources. And I'll be happy to take any questions after the other two presenters go. Thank you.